on the web at foxsports1280.com.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 9th. Holidays today. This is a tough one. Play God Day. It's the holiday for today. Do I do a happy birthday shout out to a couple of wrestling personalities? Former WWE announcer and former Pain Clinic guest, Todd Grisham's 45 today. And WWE superstar Ruby Riott's 30 years old today. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Would you want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Check them out online. We always can use some help with either of those teams. We appreciate it, and hopefully they'll be back skating real soon. I am the Cash Man, your humble host this morning. I am here with Furby. Furbs, how's it going, bud?
Not too bad. Doing great.
All right. How's it? And to his right, to your radio left, it's the artiste, Rob Sanderson. Rob, how's it going?
Good morning. A little better this week, but still kind of in all of it, you know?
I agree. We have a Danger Boy down in the bottom left corner. Or is that Alice, the housekeeper? No, it's Danger Boy. Yeah, he's in that square. What's up, bud?
Yeah. Like Rob said, still rough. Other situations in the country aren't making things any easier. And it looks like 2020 is not going away quite yet.
No, no. And we have DC Dan Cole from North Carolina back in NC. Back in the NC groove, as Kiss would say, or is that New York City groove? I don't know. But DC is back with us. Someday I'll play that song for you. But DC, how is it going? How was your trip back down to North Carolina?
I'm not gonna lie, it's a long car ride, but I'm sure it pales in comparison to some of the ones we've heard the artiste take. So I can't complain too much.
I'm enjoying a break from all of those 28-hour bus trips and stuff. Yeah. So.
Oh man. Well. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. We are still kind of, you know, as the artiste mentioned, trying to get past, you know, get over, or at least come to grips more with the death of Brody Lee 2 weeks ago. Yeah, if you heard last week's show, it was really an emotional show for all of us. You know, really talking about deep in our heart things. You know, that and Rochester very connected to this. To this man as well and family, but just a few things that have happened since we were on last is we did have Brody's wife come out and make some great posts. Really, Amanda, thank her for that, because a lot of people were looking to bury one company or the other over what happened and how they reacted and everything. And she's like, "No, I love everybody, man, and everybody did what they could." I think there's a lot of people that were, you know, anti-WWE because they didn't do enough. But, you know, he was a guy who worked for the competitive company, you know, so I could understand. Still, the banner was up for every show last week, you know, for WWE. So, that's kind of, you know, it was great having Amanda come out. And now we're getting to see more of Minus One making some appearances. You saw, if you watched Dynamite this past week, you got to see Minus One doing a little promo on Marco's stunt, which at one point I couldn't tell which was which because they were about the same height. and minus one's 8 years old. So what'd you guys think of that? DC, what'd you think of that?
It was great. And not to sound like I have a crush, but just another moment where you have to, you know, stand back and kind of admire AEW and Tony Khan for how they've handled this situation. It's unreal.
How about you, Mr. Artiste? I think pretty funny.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I really give Tony and that whole company props for everything they're doing, and WWE. I mean, and the WWE wrestlers, everybody in the whole wrestling community has really stood behind that family, and whether they're spending time with little Brody and Nolan and Amanda, or helping them out. More video tributes this week. You see all of the, you know, T-shirts with the donations, and it's really, you hate to make this be what needed to happen or whatever, but I mean, the community has really kind of come together on that. So seeing little Brody, like, we saw the promo before, like on Dark and online and stuff, but see that on Dynamite too is just, it's crazy. It's awesome. And I mean, that kid's been around wrestling and loved wrestling his whole life. And it's really cool to see them doing that for him. So I think, you know, the tough part for me, just to mention, like, you know, that first week was, it was great to see everybody talking so much about John and echoing the same things and stuff. And I think maybe this week has been a little more tough because you're still seeing a lot of that, but it's not as much. And so maybe there's more of that, like, denial or something that's going on. But I think it's just been, it's been incredible. I mean, you still see little things here and there. You see FTR renamed their move. You know, I know Sammy Guevara had the armband on again this week. Little things that the impact he had on so many people is huge.
How about you, Danger? You have any thoughts on?
Yeah, it's like the Artiste said there. It's, you know, there was people that were taking a bite at WWE for not doing the video packages or stuff they would have done for people that were currently in their employ. But they did them. They just released them online. And, you know, to see some of the stuff, the one that came out this weekend with the SmackDown guys with Cesaro and with Big E, you think you're over it until you see another one of those. And that's tough. And then you see Lil Brody in the ring doing the Marco stunt thing. And he also trained with some WWE guys during the week. And it's just, I'm glad everyone's coming together. I just wish it was for a better reason.
Real quick to throw that out there too. The one that for some reason hit me the hardest this week was that opening to Being the Elite, yeah, where they kind of showed some of the behind the scenes stuff from the tribute show, and especially Kingston's Eddie speech Kingston, backstage. Yeah. It's moving stuff.
Yeah, that was
somehow even more so than the tribute show.
Yeah, that got me all teary eyed again. The Eddie Kingston speech backstage, it was unbelievable. It was nothing like anything I've seen before as far as a leadership standpoint. And, you know, you really can see how much Brody meant to him and the rest of the locker room.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that there's a lot more people to probably still, people that we don't even know that he had relations with that are going to come out with, you know, tributes and everything. So, which is great, because really everybody that he's touched, you've seen, has nothing but good things to say. And, you know,
well, and I think the one thing with the, like, we give credit to AEW and WWE and all the wrestlers and everybody, and it's all so well deserved. I mean, everybody has had such heartfelt tributes. Everybody's gone out of their way. AEW did. I mean, you can't think of anything else AEW could have done. I think the one thing I just want to point out that's blatantly obvious is this tribute and everything that's happened, it's happening because of the person that John was. Like, people can say, well, this is the best tribute that there's ever been and all this stuff. Quite honestly, like, you're not going to get this for other people, because there are a lot of other great people in the wrestling world, but I just, like, John was that type of person that had this impact on everybody that, I'm sorry, but, like, if this was somebody else, I don't think the tributes and stuff would be quite as much. And that's not to downplay anybody else in the business and stuff, but it really speaks to, like, he deserves every bit of this. So
and I agree 100%. And he was a good guy. He was the same guy I met when he was what 20 that he was, you know, and he was a very good guy then. And he was a good guy till the end. So many good stories about how he like really kept the morale up in the locker room. And he would like, you know, be the he would bust the crowd up, you know, and you know, that was him. And I'm glad that everyone got a chance to see that. And you're right. Maybe, you know, I mean, we're going to have other people in this business, you know, die and tributes being played. But will any of them be as honest as this one? And I'm guessing no, because I don't know, you know. Wrestling is kind of a shindy business, I'll say. A certain word made up by Mr. Brody Lee, I believe. Shindy. Yeah. True. Yeah. And so, you know, you just never know. But, you know, we'll never forget him, and he'll always have some place on this show someplace. Speaking of this show, we are going to talk wrestling this week. I am going to – coming up in the future segments, we're going to talk about our end-of-the-year awards and how you can be involved in them. But we have some news, and I just want to, you know, do one little piece of news before we go to break in this first segment. And so many things happened this week. Now that, you know, it seemed like, you know, like AEW, yes, they're back in gear, and they're back in gear with their Impact Wrestling crossover. And I was either going to go with that to talk about first or talk about Legends Night, but I'd rather talk about the AEW Impact feud because it restarted, you know, I mean, Impact Wrestling had 2 weeks of best ofs going into the end of the year. And now this is their first week back live. And the first thing I see from Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone is like a 2-minute ad on the show where they just continuously rip the product that you're watching, but say they're making donations to them by buying commercial time and promoting, you know, and even showing video of AEW, what's going to be on this week, which, man, that blew my mind because that's just a little bit farther than they've gone so far with, you know, to me, I see a giant financial deal with these two guys, these two companies. I think it's good for, I mean, it's been good for both, I think, so far, even though some people say it's better for Impact than it is for AEW, but it all led up to an AEW on Wednesday night with the Good Brothers showing up at the end of the show to promote. Now there's Impact has a pay-per-view this weekend. It's called Genesis. We'll try to squeeze that in sometime in the show. But what'd you guys think about the Good Brothers coming out? I mean, you know when Kenny Omega got that pin and there was still like what 7 minutes left in the show on Wednesday night at the end of the show, that there's something bound to happen. Danger, what'd you think of the Good Brothers coming out? I mean, obviously the Good Brothers were a part of it because they're also a part of what's going on Impact as well.
Yeah, it's good to see the cross promotion continue. It's good to see the Good Brothers on a larger stage. I mean, AEW obviously gets more viewers than Impact, but getting their faces out there again, and we got to see the two sweet. So I'm waiting for the cease and desist on that one to happen again. But
yeah, the big two sweet.
It's definitely leading. I'm interested to see who the faction that goes against them is going to be and be led by. It's obviously going to have Moxley involved, but who's going to join a side with that? Because you're not going to have just Moxley fighting all five of those guys and probably more later on. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see where it plays out too.
Yeah. Anyone else? I was going to say one thing. I think that the Impact champion is going to have something to say because they got all beat down at the end of Impact this past week. It was a one-sided beatdown by the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega. So, Furby, what you think?
I loved it because I think the one part that went unseen is the fact that this was a taped show and it was basically kept a secret. And it almost felt like towards the end of the show as a cliffhanger that no one was going to come out. And it kind of felt expected. And
that
then,
show was live.
Oh, it was,
that show was live?
Yeah, it was live this week. Yeah.
Wednesday was live.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
anyway. You think everything's taped, buddy.
Well, I heard it was taped, so.
I think next week is taped now. I'm guessing the part two of the Smash, New Year's Smash, is taped. But,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I had the weeks mixed up. But still, anyways, the cliffhanger, it, I guess, is the part that it felt like there was nothing was going to happen, but we were all expecting it to happen, and then it did. So for me, they got the cheap pop there. But I thought it was awesome.
about you, DC? You get a chance to see that?
I did. I'm all for it. Funny you were mentioning the seeing the Too Sweet come back, and I did see, I believe it was one of the Gorillas of Destiny maybe point out that that's all a lie, that they ever received a cease and desist on that. So maybe some old school Bullet Club tension going on, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
What about you, Rob?
I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the, you know, maybe that's in the competition for moment of the year for the year end awards a year from now on the show for 2021. I think it's, yeah, like you said, I mean, there were 9 minutes left in the hour when the pinfall happened. And even at one point, you could kind of see Pillman Jr. and Garrison kind of look back, and they had a feeling something was going on just as soon as Don Callis walked out with an earpiece in. That something was up, and was trying to figure out what that would be. But I think it was great. And obviously they've kind of been teasing the Bucks doing some other stuff, whatever, for a while. They had mentioned that the Elite would be in action next week. So you kind of expected the Bucks to come out, and then it all kind of slowly came together there. And I just thought it was well done. Can't wait to see where that goes next. But in my mind, that's easily the biggest storyline going on in the wrestling world right now.
It is, and I think they picked up right where they left off, which I think it worked very well, because it was tough to stop what you were doing. But, you know, maybe it made sense, I guess, to do the Brody Lee tribute last week after knowing that Impact was going to be taped that week as well because of the end of the year, you know, their end of the year recap they did in 2 weeks. So I'm excited. I mean, I enjoy, you know, I'm enjoying just the back and forth, and it's like Impact has some quality guys, and it's like I think that I've always felt that they just didn't have enough time or TV time to be able to get everybody in. But man, I wouldn't be surprised in the least, and I may have mentioned this once before, that I wouldn't be surprised in the least if some guys maybe shifted over to AEW when this whole head-to-head thing is over with. Because, man, I'll tell you, the Good Brothers were originally supposed to come into AEW in the beginning, and that ended up changing when AJ Styles stayed with WWE, which they even admit on their, I guess, on their podcast. So, but, you know, we can talk about this more, but I need to take a break. We are up against it. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with Danger Boy, Furby, DC, Dan Cole, and the Artiste, and you. And I wish this guy was still around. I haven't seen him in a while. All right. Welcome back. We're going to talk some WWE from this past week. This past week, WWE had set up, and don't worry, we're going back to AEW, because I can't let the Snoop appearance go by without talking a little bit about that. But we're going to talk a little bit about Legends Night, WWE, this past week. Legends Night came, and it's like, remember the list we went through and we were trying to determine if they were legends or not? Well, it seems like that list kind of left off a bunch of guys. Some people didn't come from that list, even though we had that huge list. And the funny thing is, I wanted to see Carlito, you know? I mean, I would love to have seen that guy come back. He wasn't there. Candice Michelle, Beth Phoenix, Eve Torres, Hillbilly Jim, Ivory, Jacqueline, Kurt Angle, and Michael P.S. Hayes. None of those guys showed up on TV. Now, we did get to see IRS, Jeff Jarrett, Jimmy Hart, Molly Holly, Booker T, Alicia Fox, of course, the legend Alicia Fox, Melina, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Torrey Wilson, Big Show, Mickey James, who Mickey James apparently has transitioned from being an active wrestler to being a legend now.
That's not true. That was a false report earlier this week.
Well, I know, but that they consider her a legend. She came out, you know, Mark Henry, Ron Simmons, Teddy Long, Sergeant Slaughter, and Tatanka, who all did show up on the show, which overall disappointing, you know. I mean, I don't know what they were, you know, but the thing is the hype got them some points. They The hype did make their rating go up for the highest rated show in the past year on Monday Night Raw, which is what they were shooting for. It's just that they didn't. I don't think they came back in. Oh, and I forgot one legend that it wasn't on the list either. Goldberg. I just wanted to see your guys' faces go frownies. Okay. It was, I will say, for WWE, it was kind of a desperate move, and I truly call it a desperate move when they do things like that.
Come on. When has WWE ever been known to be desperate?
Yeah, true. Well, all the time? No, it's like they never claim to be desperate. They always seem like, you know, in the face of failure, they seem to, you know, come through swinging a lot of times. But overall, it was a night where, you know, once again, the legends were backstage fodder for things, you know. We got we got Hogan, and you know, I don't even mention Hogan's appearance, as well as I just cringe. And listen, there are people who love Hogan. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry about this, but it was things that came out about him in the last few years will make me never. I've never was a fan before, but it's not even going to convince me that I'm ever going to be a fan again. But and I'm going to throw this out to you guys. Did you guys see his interview in Sports Illustrated? Where this is what he said. He said, some of the new people in the company don't get me because they think I'm coming to take their spot. And when I read that, all I could do was laugh and say how oblivious you are to maybe racism that you've showed in the past, my man.
Who was it? Someone actually tweeted that. They go, I don't think that's it. It was a female wrestler from one of the other companies. I forgot who it was. But that was the exact tweet. Oh, it goes, big, I don't think that Swole was the reason.
It was Big Swole from AEW. Yeah. You know, it's like Hogan's like living in a fantasy world. If he doesn't realize people, you know, I mean, you know, remember the New Day still have a problem with him, you know?
I'm surprised he hasn't tried his reverse psychology again, trying to explain, you know, Hulk Hogan didn't say those things. Terry Bollea did.
Yeah, well, we got Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair in the ring at one point, very briefly. And it's like, but we never saw them move because apparently people were saying that these legends also couldn't move, which is true. I mean, you know, they gave out their knees and their hips and everything for this sport. But overall, just very disappointed in the whole night. I just, you know, I mean, obviously they're trying to build up the Royal Rumble. None of these legends are going to be in the Royal Rumble, possibly. Furby, what do you think?
I just think the show overall just never really lived up to the expectations of making it a Legends night. Yeah, some of them made some appearances, but nothing was legendary about it. I mean, what did they really do to even heighten the show? I mean, there was the one part with Hulk Hogan and Drew McIntyre where they were backstage. Okay, that kind of built up Drew a little bit. And then the spot with Ric Flair ringside with Charlotte, tripping Charlotte, who knows? You know, there's rumors that that wasn't supposed to happen, but who knows if that's a work or not. And then I just feel like then some of the stuff that Randy Orton did with Big Show and Mark Henry, I mean, really, was it a Legends night? There were some people backstage, but nothing legendary about it.
I never felt that after seeing the original list that all of those guys truly were legends, but you know, I mean, listen, I've always give Hulk Hogan his due. I've always mentioned that when he came to town, the crowd would be the loudest for him. There are a lot of fans, but I think he's done more to damage his persona and his character than anybody else could have done, you know, or anything that could have been booked wrong for him in wrestling could never have hurt him as bad as his own mouth hurt himself. You know, and it's, I mean, I'm more than willing. Listen, he's never coming on the show. I've pretty much figured that out since the 20th anniversary when Jimmy Hart said he would get him to come on the show, and he didn't. Okay, so, you know, and it's after I actually pushed it. But it's sad, and it's like our favorite pay-per-view of the year is coming up, and it's like it's hard when they have not much to build it on, you know, and I don't know. They're just going through some rough times. A lot of people are very critical of Vince McMahon and, you know, his choices. Danger?
Yeah, and then you have the whole thing that happens, and I know Danny's favorite wrestler, Goldberg, showed up, but they are so uncoordinated with the show, and they're so off time. He comes out and cuts a promo that sounds like he's doing a dementia angle.
And it's 2 weeks. And it's 2 weeks in a row that they got cut short.
Yeah, and I will say something. I'll give Goldberg credit. He was given a promo to cut. He didn't know that Drew's promo was going to be cut short, where he was belittling some of the legends. So because he came out and he said, you know, I heard you talking bad about the legends, and it never happened because they didn't have enough time.
Yeah, but it made no sense to anyone watching the show. It's like, what's he even doing here? What's he talking about? Like, there's the. You can come out and cut the promo and say, I challenge you. You know, you want to be the big dog. You got to go through me, blah, 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 something like that. But to come out there and they still had him cut a promo on something that didn't happen because they didn't let it happen because they sent Goldberg out early. And then to end the show after a push when it was supposed to end with a headbutt with Drew getting the upper hand, it just made that whole segment look completely out of array and messed up. And They drew a nice rating this week. They won't draw. They won't continue to carry that momentum over next week. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
there was nothing about that show that built up this run towards the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is a lot of people, nobody wants to see Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre for a title at the Royal Rumble. Now, to me, I think it's just a pit stop before WrestleMania, but. But
you can find somebody on your roster that's full time.
To me, this feels like an NHL team signing a player who's past his prime to a long-term contract, and then like, well, we got to pay him, so we might as well use him instead of just cutting bait and moving on. They signed this deal with Goldberg. Nobody cares. I don't know one person who has said like, "Oh, this is great. Like, I can't wait to see Goldberg." Like, it's an awful idea. I'm not watching that match. Like, it's stupid. It's a waste. Yet again, we're going back to a part-timer guy. I want to have faith in them at this point that, like, this won't be a time where Goldberg goes over, because obviously that's happened too much in recent years as well. But nobody wants to see this. And it's like you're pushing people out the door over to watch other products right now. It's pathetic. Well, and the writing of all that. You mentioned the Hogan thing too. Like, I watched the beginning of that show. Who wrote that crap with the H phone? That is the lamest thing I've ever seen on a professional wrestling program. Not one piece of that was funny. Like, and I'm not necessarily blaming Hulk Hogan, but like, whoever came up with that, like, spend a little more time, come up with anything else. I would have rather just watched a blank screen. Stupid.
Well, just remember this too. Wasn't it last year at the Royal Rumble when Goldberg beat the Fiend?
No, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, it was right. Sorry, I pardon. It was after the Royal Rumble, but it was before WrestleMania.
You know, in that 2:56 classic.
That's the only thing that I can think that could possibly happen out of this. I mean, obviously, it seems like they've segued into Drew and Goldberg rather than Goldberg than Roman, with Fiend being on Raw. There's still some history there. Maybe they go that route. He interrupts the match and we get Fiend Goldberg at WrestleMania. I mean,
but then it doesn't make sense because they still haven't resolved what's going on with Randy Orton either.
Goldberg,
maybe they could solve soon. Who knows?
I hated Goldberg in the 90s. Like, he was in his prime, what, 23, 24 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
That being said, like, if you're going to use him at this point, like, why not have him just show up as a surprise at the Royal Rumble? People would actually pop for that. He's not going to be hurting anybody. Like, he can be a big surprise in the match. And all he has anyway are punches and kicks, which are perfect for a Royal Rumble match. Like, just do that. Stop wasting, like, these huge matches at, like, the big flagpole pay-per-views on Bill Goldberg. Yeah. It's 2021.
Well, one thing that shows to us is we always know that the Royal Rumble is the main event. So anything else is an undercard match, I will say. And I did neglect to mention that Teddy Long showed up. And when Teddy Long showed up on the Legend show and he mentioned The Rock, people popped, of course, because the original.
Oh, he made a match one-on-one with The Undertaker, too.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That was my second favorite moment of the entire show. The other was when the guitar got kicked out of Jackson Riker's hand. Those were my two favorite moments on the entire show.
Yeah, there wasn't much to talk about on there. So.
Did IRS only stand in that one backstage
that's
shot?
Him and Jarrett and or Jim. That same thing, Jarrett. A bunch of people. All they did were just standing. So, On that note, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk a little bit about the award, end of the year awards that we're going to do, maybe squeeze some news in. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and you. And thank you so much for listening. And we are now into our third segment this Saturday morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Love doing this. Love doing this. Love doing this. Miss you guys. Don't forget, next hour, Bob Matthews and I will be here too as well, talking regular sports. But I will say that we are going to talk about our end of the year awards that we have entitled the Painies. Even though you cringe when you hear that name, it's the Painies. And we do this every year.
Painies?
The Painies, not the panties.
Painies.
Yeah, Painies.
Oh, don't get your panties in a twist.
Yeah, don't get your. Oh, that should be the slug line. Don't get your panties in a twist. But we're going to go through, and you can vote on these as well as we will online on our Facebook page. DC, you got to tell us the categories. You'll see them there. You can vote, and then the next week we'll come back, and you will we'll talk about who is the big winner.
All right, so we have Male Superstar of the Year, Female Superstar of the Year, The Event of the Year, The Promotion of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Faction of the Year, Breakout Star of the Year, Moment of the Year, and Match of the Year. And I was also maybe toying around with some other awards, like maybe a Comeback of the Year or the What the F Were They Thinking? You know, because we were just talking about Goldberg defeating the Fiend, so I'm sure we could find a couple other nominees for a category like that.
Yeah, I like that one.
Worst promotion of the year would be too easy for at least a couple of us. So.
No, I'm pretty sure we're in agreement. All of us are in agreement on that one.
I might have voted that every year as the worst promotion of the year, okay? I'll just say, you know. Yeah, even when they were the only promotion of the year at one time. But so we got them coming up. So go to our Facebook page. If you're our friends on Facebook, it's, you know, the Pain Clinic on Facebook. You'll find it and you can vote. And then we'll see what, you know, usually we make our predictions when we open the envelopes, and that we'll do that next week. As we go through them all. But while we're at it, we can talk about some news. We got Impact pay-per-view Genesis this weekend. I don't know if it's been, if you subscribe to their Impact service, you will be able to watch the pay-per-view. I guess it's things aren't truly pay-per-view, they're done new, but it's like from Skyway Studios.
Tonight is Impact Plus, and then next week is a pay-per-view.
That's how it goes. It's Impact Plus. That's right, Impact Plus. I'm sorry, and I have the Impact Plus card. I don't have the Genesis. Genesis is not all filled out yet, I don't believe.
Genesis is tonight.
Oh, Genesis is tonight.
And then Hard to Kill is next week.
That's right. Yep. Okay.
Even though Genesis used to be an actual pay-per-view, whatever.
And well, remember, when they lost pay-per-view, they had special shows with the pay-per-view names, so like Turning Point and Genesis. We felt they were like huge Phil Collins fans when they were thinking up the names for these pay-per-views. So
in the air tonight, that was a good one.
Against all odds.
Against all odds. And seriously, that's true. Yeah. You know, Susu Studio, who can forget that one? But we got this going
on. Tarzan soundtrack, that was...
This weekend we got an interesting one. I'm going to mention one thing that's on this weekend that I think is now they promoted it on Impact this past week, where they're going, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this, but they have Ethan Page wrestling himself as the Kung Fu guy. Is it what he calls himself?
Karate
Man versus Ethan Page. Ethan Page doesn't work for Impact anymore. So apparently this was recorded a bit ago, but you might.
Yeah, I guess the cinematic match. They had the little like video package with where they had both Karate Man and Ethan Page on screen at the same time. So. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah, but
it's definitely going to have to be, in some ways, the most creative cinematic match we've seen yet. So Ethan Page, I think, is a super underrated talent. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
But we're getting a lot of the Super X tournament, too, which I'm super excited. They haven't done Super X, 14 years, I think it was? Super X Cup tournament, and we're going to get some great matchups. Going to see Suicide and Ace Austin, Daivari versus Cousin Jake, which, by the way, did you see Cody Deaner, his new look this past week?
Holy cow.
Who was it we were saying?
I thought he almost looked like Jamie Noble.
Yeah, he has a kind of very Jamie Noble-ish look.
I mean, I remember the completely Cody Steele days back in the day, but I mean, he still had like longer hair at that point. So this is, every time I see the picture, I just like, who is that? That was a long, long run he had with that hair. So
big time, years and years. He's been a staple. Him and Crazy Steve have been a staple of Impact Wrestling for like 10 years now, at least.
I mean, I think because he first went to TNA in 2009, I want to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, I even think back to like ESW in like 2004 and stuff. Like he always, his early SmackDown appearances with Angle and stuff. And
he was, where are you from, boy? Rochester, New York.
And people started chanting liar. In the crowd.
Yep. Yeah, we were part of them. We were in the freebie seats for a SmackDown taping, and we were chanting things. I thought we were going to get kicked out. Okay, but yeah, no. So we got Crazy Steve versus Trey Lamar, Casey Navarro versus Blake Christian. These are all Super X Cup tournament semifinal matches. So then we get the semifinals with the Super Cup finals. And that looks like a lot of excitement. We get Jordynne Grace taking on Jazz, people who are tag team partners in this women's tournament, women's tag team tournament. Now we're going to take each other on, which I thought was pretty cool how they did it. Jordynne Grace is gorgeous, by the way, big fan of her as well. But her and Jazz were, tag partners in the women's tournament, and now they're going to take each other on. Jazz is going to wrestle one more match. And I thought that was a cool setup on this past week's Impact. So that's going on this Saturday night. But before we go to break, I do want to talk about Snoop. Guys, Snoop was on AEW this past week.
Snoop-a-loop.
Snoop was like in the corner of Cody Rhodes and then suddenly got involved in the match. And I don't know what he did. Was it a splash? I'm not sure exactly what he did.
He kept calling, land on your feet and lay down.
He kept calling for, who was that, Serpentico to be moved closer. And I was like, dude, you're like 7 feet tall. You don't need him any closer. Like, just go for it. I love Sasha Banks like saying, like, we got to work on that because, like, it was not great. But, I mean, credit to him for doing that. And it was funny seeing him also with the playbook from 20 feet away.
Yeah,
he did put up like the two, like let's call play two and stuff. But I just wish they would have thrown him on commentary for another match or something too. But it was still fun that he was there.
Well, that was his strength, is his commentary. I mean, when he finished up, what did he do? He went over to the commentary crew and slapped hands with everybody. So,
I mean, when he did that, that boxing match, when he's done hockey before, whatever, like he's, I would listen to him commentate anything. So I wish they would have worked that out. I know Jericho is on commentary. We get that all the time. I don't know. I wish they would have made that work, but maybe some other time.
I'll give Jericho credit too. He sounded pretty good this week. There's some things he did that made me laugh. But
he's pretty good at it overall. Yeah. I mean, like sometimes it is weird listening to him kind of go back and forth between like, oh, I'm going to still play this heel. No, I'm going to give this guy credit. Like, there's a lot of back and forth, and obviously, like, that flies now in 2021. But, like,
yeah.
I kind of wish he would just stick to one side or the other. But
I think his character is the hyperactive kid, but it's just like him in real life when you talk with him. It's just a little amped up, you know? But he's definitely got that hyperactive kid. But Snoop, it just blew my mind that he actually got involved. I was blown away by that, you know? I know he's got the Big Show. Big Show to
the Go Big Show.
Yes.
The Go Big Show.
And that probably is doing stellar. I'm sure it did on Thursday night. But, you know, which because they've been promoting it for about 2 months now, which I, you know, good for them. You know, it looks like a fun show. It looks like, you know, some what's that one that Howard Stern used to host or used to be part of with Howie Mandel?
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent. I think it's a lot.
Is that on WNBC?
WNBC.
So yeah, that. But so that's what do you think? DC seeing Snoop out there and getting involved. By the way, the playbook. If you read it, you could actually read it when they zoomed in on him at one point, and it had all things about Phoenix on the flip side of it, or whatever.
It's not a Waffle House menu.
No, it was not a Waffle House menu, even though he said that. But you
wanted that sausage biscuit.
DC, what do you think about that?
Sausage biscuit sounds good right now. Mm. Sidetrack. More commentary, less in-ring. I mean, that looked like a splash that someone would do, like backyard wrestling, like their first attempt at it.
Like everything we've seen Brody Jr. do
was bad. It's been better.
Stuff has been much better than that.
Yeah, it looked like he broke in half when he hit, you know, because he's so tall.
Because like Danger said, he landed on his feet and then he laid down.
Yeah. Snoop's not a young cat anymore. I mean...
You could definitely tell when he took his bandana off his head, how his hairline had moved back quite a bit. Brody, Furby, what'd you think?
It was not the best looking frog splash I've ever seen. No. That's all I got to say.
No, it was a cool setup. I mean, I think that their last hour of the show this week, Dynamite, was great because of that leading right into the Kenny Omega match, which you know, turned out to be the invasion, slow quote unquote invasion or whatever it was, but you know, and then the too sweet, which you know, people have been waiting for that for such a long time, and they finally got satisfied with that. But and then, no, we gotta go to break because once again, I wasn't paying attention to the time, and we're running late. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby, and you. Little Finn going in back from this break. And please go to our sponsor. The Pain Clinic, of course, is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire at Culver. Going to do some news in this last segment because we've got this is the shortest segment of the show. So one piece of note that I have on the news is AEW Dynamite, the Brody Lee tribute show, drew 977,000 viewers, which was their second largest total, I think, of their viewers. And almost at that point, pretty much doubled up NXT that night. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week, but I just wanted to throw that number out there. Pretty impressive. You know, it's like they announced that they were going to do the tribute a couple days before the show, so it gave people an opportunity, if they weren't going to watch it, or to, you know, if they're not into, like, you know, being sad and stuff like that, they could have gone to NXT. What'd you guys think of that number? I mean, I think it's a good representative of the people in the United States listening who love this guy too. Anyone have a thought on that? Danger?
I think it was a good number. I think there was some, not everybody's online, so if people are just watching, they might have tuned in to see the first day of New Year's Smash, and then, but they stuck around. So we might see numbers like that from here on out with them, because they are doing some stuff that is going to keep people interested.
Yeah. I agree. I think the numbers were warranted. It's a proud number. And just like Danger said, I think you'll see similar numbers going forward.
Very cool. I think that was pretty cool. Now, Raw this past week, like I mentioned earlier, viewership was up and it was the highest viewership they've had in a year because of the Legends. Unfortunately, I have a feeling we're going to get more now because that seems to be the way things work. We did have a few guys this past week. There's a few more people are now added to the 2021 Royal Rumble besides Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. We have Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton added in the Women's Royal Rumble. We have Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, and there's still a bunch more to be announced. So they're starting to slowly fill up. We've got a couple more weeks. I think it's 10 days. I can't remember. It's not that far away. Sami Callihan.
Two names I wouldn't be surprised if you saw coming up would be Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest, because they're both expected to be showing up on the main roster shows here shortly.
Yeah, I was going to mention there was a story out about how Damian Priest was supposed to debut on SmackDown last week, and they decided that it didn't seem logical in the storyline to do it. So, but he's definitely being called up, and after Rhea Ripley's defeat last week on NXT, Rachel Gonzalez, is that her name?
Raquel,
sorry. She got put through the floor, and pretty much that's why Gonzalez won the match.
It was a really good match, though, too. Raquel Gonzalez held her own against someone who a lot of people think is going to be the future of women's wrestling.
I will tell you, there's a lot of good matches on TV this past week. I mean, we had Finn versus
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly. It was like the second time they'd taken each other on, and it looked like nobody got hurt too bad, though Finn was bleeding at the end of the match. But it was a very exciting match, and then we got Keith Lee versus Drew on Monday Night Raw, which was a pretty. Did you see that crazy bump off the corner they did? Oh, man,
the Spanish Fly.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could have collapsed the ring on that one too. You know, like when they, you know, when the Big Show and Brock Lesnar made the ring collapse. So some good matches on TV this week, which I've kind of brought up,
some decent stuff on Wrestle Kingdom too, but have not watched all of it yet because that's two nights. That's a lot of wrestling and everything else going on.
Oh, there was some news. I didn't want to spoil it for you, but there is a double champion now from New Japan Pro Wrestling from Wrestle Kingdom. And that is, let's see if I can find where. Here it is. Nate.
Kota Ibushi.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who is now a god.
Yes. First time ever heavyweight champ and intercontinental champ. Is that what it is?
He defeated Naito on the first night of Wrestle Kingdom to become the new double champ, and then he retained on night two
against Jay White.
And he wants to now merge the belts in New Japan. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's pretty. Yeah, Jay White now I believe is a free agent too. So who knows if he's going to pop up someplace too real soon. But some other news, NXT announced they're going to do a takeover on Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th. So they set up their next, NXT-only pay-per-view, which was pretty cool. You know, I mean, I've always enjoyed that. But one thing we didn't get to see last week on New Year's Evil was the Ciampa-Thatcher match that was supposed to be in the fight pit. I guess Thatcher's injured, or maybe it's storyline, I don't know, but so we didn't get Thatcher. We're going to get it another time, they said, but they didn't get to show that, which was, that was great. Those fight pit matches, the first one was pretty insane, so I can imagine these two guys being gritty fighters would be a good match, so hopefully it'll come up soon. Some other news. ECW original Sabu's been filming some stuff for the Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah.
Every time you say his name, I don't like him as a person. So I'm going to say that every time. I don't care.
Well,
can't wait for that series to come back, though. But
Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly what he was filming about, but one of them was about Extreme Pro Wrestling promotion, which was kind of...
XPW with Rochester's Rob Black running it.
Yeah, a guy who made his money in pornography, doing wrestling.
And his wife.
And his wife, yeah. Yeah, so, but I'm sure, you know, there's probably a lot more that they could interview Sabu about. But that's cool that they're working on these shows, so we got that coming up real soon, which I'm really excited about. The Rock is involved in this, as well as a guy named Kyle Newacek, who, if you don't know the name, he was the fourth guy. If you ever watched Workaholics, you know, he was like their friend, the guy who just drive around in the van. He's producing a biopic on Rowdy Roddy Piper, working with The Rock on that. which ought to be pretty cool. I mean, you know, Roddy being a favorite of ours on the show and actually being in our studio at one time, we still discuss who was the most pop, who was the most famous guy ever in the studio. And I still insist it was Roddy Piper. But beyond that, that should be, we should be looking for that sometime real soon. Danny, you want to go through the real quick, the categories one more time for the people so they can vote on our Facebook page?
Yeah, really, at this point, what we're just looking for is kind of nominees. So the categories we're going to go with are male superstar, female superstar, event of the year, promotion of the year, tag team of the year, faction of the year, breakout star of the year, moment of the year, and match of the year. And if you feel so inclined, give us some recommendations for maybe comeback of the year and what the F were they thinking? I've come up with four nominees for that category on my own, and I'm biased. Three out of the four are from WWE.
Well, you know, and I bet you Goldberg's mentioned in at least one.
Yeah, and Mysterio losing an eye.
Oh, yeah. There's some. We could go through and discuss all the things that happened in the past year. Remember, this was a COVID-19 year, so there was a lot of stuff done on set, you know, a lot of stuff done, you know, in the, you know, without an audience response, you know.
Oh, and real quick, anybody listening, before you give us your nominees for match of the year, I will not be accepting Boneyard match or any of the Firefly stuff. Not matches.
Good.
True. Yeah, we talked about that. Well, we got to get out of here. It's been another crazy, crazy week for the pain clinic. And I'm definitely, you guys got, you know, we're 1 week into the new year. Is anything exciting?
I just want to throw a quick plug, prowrestlingtees.com/2CW. There's so many shirts out there right now that money's going to Brody's family. Every 2CW shirt sold in January is the same, including an all-day shirt that's just going online right about now. That I had the pleasure of designing, which one of the shirts that doesn't have a face on it. I don't always wear one with a face on it like I am right now, but more of a Maple Leafs fan one. So check that out and check out all the other ones that we talked about last week. And I'm sure we've got, you know, all the lists we'll put up on the Facebook page too. So
okay, cool, man. We got to get out of here. By the way, I'm going to get a picture of your shirt, the one you have on right now, posted up on our Facebook page. So you're listening to Pain Clinic. We'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. See you next week, folks.